coach of the Canadian men's under 19 team. And we bring him on the program right now and say congratulations to Roy Rana. Roy, thanks for the time today. And maybe we can start right there with RJ then. I want to ask you a bunch of different things over the course of the next few minutes. But what about RJ and his near future and his long-distance future as a player at the professional level?
Well, thanks. Happy to be on the show, guys. And, what can I say about RJ? I mean, certainly that performance against, the U.S., in the semifinal was one of the great ones in our history. And, he topped it off by having probably the most important game of the tournament against France, where he had 27 and, just was a monster on the glass. And, he's got an incredible feel for the game and his ability to pass. He's unique. Now, I hate to compare guys and who's better, Wiggins, RJ. RJ's got a long way to go. I mean, Andrew's gone number one. He's put 2 years into the league, but certainly at this stage of his career, he's a phenomenal young talent and, easily, the best player in his age group in the world right now. And he's proven that in Cairo. And I'm just happy to be on the bench and get a front row seat to watch it. But he's spectacular and a great kid.
In a tournament like this, Roy, obviously you want to win the tournament, which you did. And congratulations for that. But I assume there's a bigger picture here for all of you guys who coach with Canada's various teams. And that is trying to get these guys excited about playing for Canada, not just now, but down the road. Is that sort of part of the program for a tournament like this, both the competition and trying to establish this as a priority in the minds of these young men?
No question. I mean, we often speak about our purpose at the age group level in our national team program, and there's multiple things involved, but, right at the top of that pyramid is one, player development, trying to help these guys grow as players on the court, and then obviously developing a passion to play for their country and hopefully by giving them a great experience, that's something that will motivate them to continue answering the call, every summer. And now, we have these windows during the fall and spring. So, our player pool will get even bigger. But certainly those are our two main focuses. And to win is just gravy. And we know that when you win, it inspires that experience can't be any better than it was this summer for that group in Cairo. And hopefully it inspires a whole new generation to say, hey, that's something that I want to do every opportunity I get.
Roy, certainly the attention that's been put on this team over the last handful of days since the semifinal victory over the U.S. and then, of course, the championship itself, it's been there from, whether it be media or even more so fans. But why do you think there hasn't been as much attention? Is it a fair comparison to talk about world junior hockey and how much emphasis we put on that as Canadians? And yet here's a Canadian basketball team winning a World Cup, and it's maybe not getting or wasn't getting the same type of attention.
You don't think it's getting a lot of attention? I think they got massive attention.
I'd be interested in Roy's perspective, guys. I think it's only been really in the last few days that people have sat up and take notice.
Eric, I'd agree with you. I mean, I don't think, vast majority of Canadians even knew we were in Cairo until we played the U.S. and beat them. So certainly, it's a huge moment for basketball in this country because it's raised awareness of what's happening at the youth level. And I wouldn't compare it to hockey. I would compare it more to what's happened in women's soccer and how some of those young teams inspired a whole, community to get behind soccer, especially on the women's side. So hopefully for us, this is that moment in basketball where now it's not just about what we do in an event, but being behind us right from day one. And in hockey, we already have that culture. There's a lead up. The media is covering these teams before they even get there, and everybody understands who's on the team. And just, the development of the roster is a huge story. And so hopefully we can get there now, and hopefully this group is the one that's kind of tipped that scale.
It's interesting, Roy, as a coach, is it easier to do your job and coach a team when you're operating a little bit below the radar as opposed to when you've got the spotlight on you from the time you start trying to put together the team?
I don't think it's easy. It's easy either way. I mean, sure. The reality is that when you have top-level talent, you've got to figure out a way to make it work. And it's no different whether it's at the age group level or whether it's at our senior team level. I mean, managing distraction is something that, we constantly have to deal with as coaches and as players as well. And I think that's the other thing that's happening in our country is our players are much more prepared to play in the spotlight because, a world championship is one thing, but, RJ was in the Hoop Summit. And, Abu's going to Oregon. And Lindell has, played in a national championship game at Oak Hill. So, know, our kids at a very, very young age are getting these incredible experiences, and it just makes them more prepared.
Speaking with Roy Rana, head coach of Canada's under-19 men's team that won gold at the World Cup over the course of the weekend in Egypt. Roy, what does this mean to the program overall and the senior team going forward? Because even if we're not talking about a bunch of NBA players, which we very well could be, but what does it mean to the program in terms of taking that next step as these kids mature and ultimately make it to that senior program and the pool of players available, especially with the changing rules in FIBA as it relates to Olympic qualifiers and world championships, et cetera, going forward?
Well, I mean, there's a lot there, and certainly, obviously, improving our depth is something that we continue to strive for every summer with our age group teams. But, you know, I think, you know, there's been a general kind of narrative or a theme that, you know, we are now becoming a basketball power and we should be achieving or hoping to achieve results at, you know, global competitions. But and now that we've won one, I think it makes it real. And hopefully every team that goes to a world championship now and hopefully to an Olympics, just getting there isn't good enough. And I hope that, you know, as a basketball community and as Canada basketball, we aspire for bigger and better things and that our hope is to try and get a medal in every competition we play in.
RJ got a lot of attention, obviously, as sort of the MVP of the tournament. But on teams like this that have this kind of success, there's usually somebody who's a little bit undersung, who goes under the radar, doesn't get all the attention. Was there a player like that for you who was a real glue piece to this team?
You know, it's interesting because I think there was a number of players like that on this team that filled that role. And that's why this team was so special that, you know, we had five or six guys that were really willing to make a sacrifice. You know, our entire front court basically was platooned and played, you know, 10 to 12 minutes a game. Grant Shepherd, Amadou Bamba, and Prince Adoro at the five spot. And they were tremendous. If you were add up all their numbers and look at what they accomplished, it was pretty spectacular. So that group of guys who really just kind of decided that they were going to collectively do the job, that was really unique for us. And then, you know, Lindell Wigginton, who, you know, didn't have his greatest tournament from a scoring perspective, but, you know, he was our captain and one of our more high-profile kids coming into the event, was just spectacular, off the court leading and on the court distributing. And, you know, he had a concussion and came back and played in the World Cup final and had an impact in that game. So there's just so many great stories on teams that win, and those are just a few of them. But, you know, each and every one of these kids just bought into a role and tried to give as much as they could to it to see the team have success.
Speaking with Roy Rana. Roy, not always easy to talk about yourself, but when I say the name Scott Morrison, I think a lot of people watching and listening right now are going to think that he's our Sportsnet colleague, Damian, at the writer and broadcaster at Sportsnet. But Scott Morrison, also a Canadian basketball coach and who was coaching recently with the Maine Red Claws in the D League, now known as the G League, now got the promotion into the NBA, and he's going to be on the staff with the Boston Celtics this coming season. What's the next step for Roy Rana?
Yeah, well, the immediate next step is for me to go back to Ryerson probably on Monday and get going with my guys again. I mean, Scott, you know, he deserves everything that he's got, and an incredible grind, spending 3 years in Maine and, you know, doing that, the D-League route and going that way to get on the Celtics bench. Scott was my assistant on the junior national team. So, you know, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. He's a very, very talented young coach. Everybody's pathway is different. You know, I would never rule out any opportunity, but at the same time, you know, it has to be the right fit for myself and my family. So, you know, right now I'm very, very content with where I'm at, what I'm doing. I get great joy from it. You know, I love the university. I love the kids that I coach. We've had tremendous amount of success. We built a great culture there. So I'm just happy to continue grinding it out the way I have. And if something else materializes, I'll look at it then.
In 1980 at Lake Placid, the U.S. team had, the hockey team had their miracle on ice. And many people forget that beating the Russians was in the semifinal, and then they beat Finland in the final. You beat the Americans in the semifinal and beat Italy for the gold. Which was bigger to you, the gold medal win or finally beating the Americans?
Oh, absolutely the gold medal win. I mean, you know, we've come close in FIBA Americas last summer in Valdivia, Chile. You know, it was a one-possession game with about 3 minutes left, and both Lindell Wigginton and Shea Alexander were out after the first half with injury, and we battled and came up short there and had a chance to beat them.
That was the Americans against
that the Americans.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, we've come close, and, you know, I've had many wins over the U.S. national team at the Hoop Summit. And so for me to, you know, I'll take the gold medal any day. I'll take a world championship over a win over the U.S. any day.
Roy, before I let you go here, I want to follow up just quickly on my my question there. And you said the first thing is getting back to Ryerson. Has there been interest to this point, whether it be from G League, NBA, NCAA? I mean, you talk about your time at the Hoop Summit as well. I mean, yeah. people are starting to hear the name Roy Ranna a lot more over the last few years than perhaps they did a decade ago.
You know, the last 3-4 years, I've had a lot of interesting conversations, but, you know, nothing that's really kind of, you know, I love Toronto, Eric. You know, it's a difficult place for me to get up and leave from. And, you know, we live in one of the best countries in the world. We live in one of the best cities in the world. And it's not easy to uproot your family and move to another community. That would be a really big, big decision for me. But, you know, there's always chatter. I mean, I just got back. I'm going to try and breathe a little bit and focus on what's ahead, and we'll see where it goes.
Well, congratulations again, Roy, and appreciate your time on the show today.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.